Ecclesiastes chapter 1, of course, the key word in this book, the key phrase is under the sun. And certainly the key word is the word vanity. The Bible uses the word vanity in many different applications, but the word vanity is really the word emptiness. Emptiness, something that is empty, something that is used in the idea of having no meaning. It has the idea of bringing no real satisfaction. It has the idea of having no real value. And the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is looking at life, people living without God, and or living without a purpose that brings glory to God. And he says that as he looks at life, this is what he says. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes, another generation cometh, the earth abides forever. He's talking that life from the standpoint of the shortness of our life and the fact that the earth goes on. Life goes on. You know, think about it. There's over a billion people in China today. Perhaps a few thousand died today. Most of the world doesn't even know they died. Most of the world, even today, doesn't even know they existed. Certainly, 20 years from now, even some of the most prominent people in China that died, people won't even remember. Life goes on. And the greatest tragedy of life is that life will be lived and the result will be nothing. That's the greatest tragedy of life. Life will be lived and the end result will be nothing. Vanity. That's what vanity is, emptiness, nothing, to live for nothing. I remember one time there was a man came down to the nursery, and he was buying some trees, and we began to talk. And he was a religious man, and so we got on spiritual things, and in the course of the conversation, he said, I work at Miller Brewery. And he said, this is what he said. He said, you know, it's kind of disconcerting. I work for Miller Brewery and I'm spending my whole life working for a brewery. What am I? And he basically said, what good purpose is there to my life spending my whole life being a part of making beer? What What was he saying? He says, emptiness. Spend my whole life for nothing. You're going to spend my whole life and it's going to have no positive effect on the earth. In fact, negative result. You know, we need to take a broad view of life. Think about it. Here is a man who said his job was vain. Just think of a person who spends their life being an operator of some sort, a table operator at a casino. And spend their whole life, and of what value will all that they have done in life come to? Will not only be no value, be a negative value, won't it? You know, I think about this. I've said this before. Some sports in themselves are really vain. You know, some people, some teenagers, in fact, some teenagers who are more productive and more positive than many, many teenagers, and I appreciate that, but they will spend 50 hours a week putting a ball in a hole. And when their life is all over, what did they accomplish? What did they accomplish? They became good at putting a ball in a hole. That's really productive. I call it vanity. You think about it. Solomon spent his life accomplishing things. And he said, the result of accomplishing these things was emptiness. He built the world's best vineyards and the best buildings. He gave himself great amount of effort, and he said the result of it was emptiness. You know, a lot of people today, they don't really have a purpose in their life. They don't have any purpose for their life. Certainly we have, you know, we have the sinful side of our society. You know, you have prostitutes, you have gangs, you have drug addicts, you have people addicted to alcohol. I mean, you have all these lifestyles. What value is that life? You're going to spend their whole life, it's going to be over, and it's of no value. But then think of it from another standpoint. You know, you could be a good citizen. And you could be an average, a good American citizen. You could spend 50 years getting up early in the morning, going to work, working long hours, coming home, recovering, by having a meal, resting a little bit, going to bed, get up the next morning. Work. Long hours. Get home. You know. Eat a meal. Rest maybe. Have a little whatever. Go to bed. Do it over again. Every day. Every day of your life. For 40 years. Get up. Go to work. Spend all day at work. Get home. Recover somehow. To do the same thing over the next day. Over and over and over and over. And then, after 50 years, your body is so wore out, you can't do anything. That's life. And then you die. Then you die. Vanity of vanities. Emptiness. Is that what life is about? You know, the Lord said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through nor steal. He's saying, you know, you can lay up for yourselves, you can have all this money, but it could be stolen. And if you have a lot of money in the bank right now, let me tell you what. Yeah, if you don't know this, the government is stealing about 10% every year. Maybe 20%. Maybe 30%. Because they're printing so many dollars that have no backing that your dollar in the bank is becoming worthless. And they know exactly what they are doing. And you and I have voted those people into office. And they are stealing your life savings. And pretty soon, if there ever came a day that oil wasn't purchased in dollars, you might as well take all those dollars in a wheelbarrow and use them for starting fires. Because you know what? If the government doesn't take it, certainly when you die, you aren't going to take it with you. And certainly when you die, that probably the likelihood of the people who get a hold of it are going to waste what you frugally save. They're going to waste it in a few moments. And Solomon is talking about this. He's talking about the vanity of life. Here is a king, and he does a great job, and he builds up the country, and he makes it strong. And then his son follows him, and his son is a foolish son, and the country falls apart within a couple of years. He says, that's vanity. What did you spend your life for? It was over in a minute. And so we have a number of truths. Warnings in the Bible that our life can be amount to nothing when it's all over. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, we think about that, lose his own soul. And of course, it's referring to specifically, it's referring to hell. But, you know, it really refers far more than that. You know, people for money every day lose their soul. People for money will lose their soul. They will They will put up with something that is corrupt. They will put up with lying. They will be a part of lying. They will be part of cheating. For what? For a dollar. And what are they doing? They're destroying their soul. They're destroying their soul for a dollar bill. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, one of the biggest problems with the compromising churches is that the people, if they're the good people that are in it, are losing their soul. They're losing their soul. They're losing their conscience. They're losing their discernment. They're losing their spirituality. Their soul is being lost. You know, people have these things, and they want these things so much. Some people want education so much. Lose their own soul. I remember when Heather, you know, Heather always got the brunt of everything because she was the firstborn. You know, when she went to camp, she had $1 to spend all week. I mean, she always had the toughest, you know. And I remember she was the first one to go to college. And I remember thinking about where we're going to send her to college. And I was thinking this one place, and I was thinking, no way. The freshmen at that school are not allowed to go to church Sunday morning. They have church on campus. I will not allow her soul to be sold over that. You know, people lose their souls over all sorts of things today. Jesus said he had a great warning. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And the end of life will be what? Nothing. Solomon said it. Christ said it. It's interesting what Paul said. A little different perspective. But Paul, in chapter 12 of Hebrews, said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, he's painting a picture. He's saying that life is a race. And he said, we're supposed to run the race. And in the race, in the mastery, you see, receive a prize. But he says, let him that run, run lawfully. So here is a picture. He says, you know, there's a lot of people who are on the sidelines. They never entered the race of life. We're talking about Christians. They're not in the race. They're just observing. Now, you can't win the race if you don't enter the race, right? He said, if you're going to get a reward, have something that's worthwhile in life, you got to enter the race. Otherwise, if you're just sitting on the sidelines. You know, I don't know of anybody at the Olympics that was in the crowd that got a gold medal. Do you know anybody in the Olympics that got a gold medal sitting on the side? No. They had to get in the race. They had to get in the contest. So, we think about this whole idea of vanity and emptiness. And really the opposite of that is this: a purposeful life. A purposeful life. Now, first of all, as we think about this, I suppose we would have to say that if I could judge people by just, you know, their eyes, we have some here that really don't have a purpose in life at all. I mean, their eyes are dead. There's just nothing there. Now, some people have the wrong purpose in life. And they have plans and they work hard, but the purpose is wrong. And it's going to be very sad at the end of their life. And I say wrong in the sense that they are not doing simple things, they're just doing things that aren't purposeful. And then we have the other crowd. We have the crowd that has their life is going to be worse than empty because they've given themselves over to sin. And their life is a destructive, negative force in the world. You know, I'm thinking about these states and these legislatures who want to legalize marijuana. What do you think happens to a child that is conceived in the womb of a mother who is on marijuana? If a child that is conceived by a mother who's on alcohol can produce a child with alcohol syndrome that affects their brain and makes them wild, what do you think marijuana is going to do? We're going to have millions of kids that are wild rebels that can't even control themselves because their brain has been fried even before they were born. I tell you what, our society is going crazy. It's a society of selfishness. People want a little bit of high in their life because their life is empty, and they're willing to destroy innocent souls with it. You know, God says he hates the shedding of innocent blood. There can only be destruction for our nation. But what is your purpose in life? What is the purpose of our life so that when it is over, we're not empty? So that when it is over, we don't say like Solomon. He said, I did all these things, and you know, you know, when he says vanity of vanities, you know what he's saying? He's saying this is just plain, almost disgusting. It's so empty. I wasted all my time doing all of this and has absolutely no value. What is God's purpose for our life? I want to just simply bring three simple truths here. about what is God's purpose for your life and my life. And first of all, let us turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. A very simple truth. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God made man in his image. God made man to have fellowship with God. The basic purpose of life is for man to have fellowship with God. That's why God created man. But sin came into the human race. And now, because of sin, man is born not in fellowship with God, but man is born at enmity with God. Man is born out away from God. Man is born dead in trespasses and sins. And therefore, man has lost his basic purpose in life, to have fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. And that's why Christ came. I say, you know, a person that isn't saved is only two-thirds of a person. You have a body, soul, and spirit. And when you are unsaved, your spirit is dead. That only makes you two-thirds of a person, doesn't it? Right? How can two-thirds of a person really function? Their purpose in life is to have fellowship with God. Now, if you're saved, and you've been brought into fellowship with God, and you are now away from God, guess what? You will admit to me, if you're honest with yourself, that you have walked away from the most important purpose of your life. And your life is empty. Your life is meaningless. There is no real satisfaction. And you might be like one of these people of the world. They're giving themselves to something. To try to get some kind of meaning out of life. But life without God doesn't have meaning. Life without God doesn't have any meaning. I am sure that there's some wonderful people over in the subdivision over here. And there's a number of houses going up over there. And I'm sure that they're thinking. I'm sure there's some ladies thinking, boy, what a beautiful house. Look at that concrete drive. Beautiful neighborhood, the best upscale neighborhood in Mequonago. Boy, I get there, this is going to be satisfaction. I'm going to be so happy.
Doubt it. Doubt it. Because the basic purpose of life is to have fellowship with God. Now, the second basic purpose of life is to bring glory to God. The second basic purpose in life is to bring glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 1, we find a number of references to the fact that now that you're saved, God has a plan, God has a purpose for your life. Ephesians 1. Verse 4, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be purpose, holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 14. Unto the praise of his glory. God's saying, you know, if you want to have a life that's going to end up with purpose, with meaning, he said, make your life be to bring glory to God. Make your life be to bring glory to God. What does it mean to bring glory to God? Well, it means to cause people to have a right opinion of God. It means to cause people to see God in you. It means to cause people to praise God because of what God has done in your life. Bring glory to God. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 5, what does it say? It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. It's saying that we have a purpose. We have a purpose in this world is to be a light in a dark world. That light gives the right opinion of God, even if people don't like it. It is the correct opinion of God. It's the correct opinion of God. We're to be a light of the world. The Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. Our purpose is to be salt on this earth. You know, salt has lots of different purposes. But you know, salt is a preservative. Salt is a taste enhancer. Salt has a lot of purposes. And salt makes a wound smart. It also cleanses it, doesn't it? We're to be a convicting force in this world. I remember when Marv Munyon was in Madison. It was a very, very miserable place to live or to work. He hated it. But his presence in those halls was constantly checking those liberals and all the foolish, wicked things they were about to do. And they were constantly thinking, okay, we're going to have to deal with Marv Munyon. Marv Munyon is going to come into our office and he is going to tell us this is a crazy idea. In fact, he tells about how they were talking about passing out birth contraceptives even down to the kindergarten. And he says,
He called them on it. He says, where are your brains? You know, if he wasn't there, they would be thinking they were doing something smart. But you know, the Christian is supposed to be in this world. We have a purpose. We have a purpose. We are to be a light in this world. You know, light isn't very popular sometimes. Light isn't real popular, you know. I mean, if somebody is breaking into a building, they don't want you to come around and turn all the lights on. Now, that's not very popular, you know. But we have a purpose. Our purpose is to bring glory to God. Our purpose is to show the reality of God working in our life. What does it say? Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. You know, we have a purpose. Sometimes we forget that we have a purpose. Sometimes we forget that our purpose is to let our light shine. Our purpose is to let people see God working in our life. You know, it's amazing how our life can be a testimony of the Lord, or our life could be a bad testimony. You know, all we have to do is get upset at the clerk at Home Depot because they punched the keys wrong and they got it all messed up and they can't figure it out and we're in a hurry. Or we can think, you know what, I have a purpose. My purpose is to bring glory to God. My purpose in life is to show that Jesus Christ is real. And he can make a difference in my life. And I don't have to threaten them with the lawsuit. I can be patient. God has a purpose in our life. It's to live to bring glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us that we have a purpose to glorify God as church members. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, a very interesting verse in the Bible, we memorize it. To the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. You know what it's talking about? Principalities and powers in heavenly places is talking about the angelic world. To the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What's it saying? It's saying that the angels in heaven are looking down at Maquonago Baptist Church and any real New Testament church. The angels are looking down and they're saying, the purpose is for them to say, you know, God's plan of salvation is sure wonderful. Look at these people. Look at this church. Look at these people. They're denying themselves. They're long-suffering. Look at these people. You know, They don't get ornery. They don't get belligerent. You know, someone calls them up to remind them they have new nursery duty. They don't get mad. They don't say, quit bothering me. They are selfless. Wow. And you know what? Their lives are changing. Man, hey, some of them used to be some real big crooks. You know, some of them used to be big liars. And now, they would rather lose $2 than to cheat a person out of one penny. Wow. Look at that, church. There's a purpose. How many churches have lost sense of their purpose? I remember when I came to Aquanago, I hate to tell the story. Mr. Grutzmacher, I met him in the museum. First man, you know, one of the first men I met in Aquanago. Of the Aquanago Society. He says, what are you guys doing? And I said who I was, that we're going to come to Aquanago, start a church. He said, oh, we own 80 churches. He says, the church across our street, they're almost ready to fold up. We don't need any more churches. And I said, well, I came to start a Baptist church. He said, oh, we used to have a Baptist church in this town. It folded up about the turn of the century. They just couldn't get along. Well, that was a great testimony, wasn't it? If that's what a man thought, I wonder what the angels were thinking. They have a purpose. You know, it's not us. It's God. You know, we get it all mixed up when we start living for ourselves. And we forget about our real purpose is to bring glory to God. That's a purpose. You know, I've learned something about purpose, though. A purpose isn't a purpose unless we purpose to have it. Nobody has any purpose in life unless they purpose to have purpose. God has a purpose for us, but it won't be our purpose unless we give ourselves that purpose. God's purpose for our life. He saved us for the sake of the gospel. Let's look at a couple of verses here that I think is kind of interesting. Mark 8, 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's. What does that mean? Who will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's. A person who will purpose to give away their life for the spread of the gospel. That's what it says. The same shall save him. So what's it talking about? Remember what our subject is? Purpose. Emptiness versus meaning. Nothing versus something. What does it say? It says, if you give away your life for the gospel, you're going to get something. When your life is all over, you'll have saved your life. It's not talking about salvation in the sense of having your sins forgiven. It's talking about you'll have rescued your life from emptiness, from vanity. And when your life is all over, you will have something great in heaven. Well, obviously, the third purpose of our life is the spread of the gospel. I like what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you know, we need to be reminded of this. Why do we need to be reminded of this? Well, we need to be reminded of this because we're human and we are sinners. We need to be reminded of this because we are living in a day in which people are wasting their lives more than ever before. And it's catching. We can get caught in it. But notice what it says about the resurrection. Verse 58, 1 Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does that word vain mean? Empty. It's not empty. It's not worthless. It is full of meaning, full of substance, full of value. You think of the song. It says, when I see Jesus, I wish I would have given him more. I wish I'd have given him more. I don't know, but I am sure that will be true of me. I am sure that when I face the Lord, I will say, I wish I would have given him more. And it might be for the most of us in this room, when we stand before the Lord, we will say, I wish I had given him more. And we'll say, you know, our life could have amounted to something that had eternal value. But I was affected by all that was around me. And I didn't really believe the message of the Bible. You know, I gave illustration a couple years ago to the young people. I said, you know, what we ought to do is we ought to go and we ought to buy a brand new Ford Mustang convertible, you know, with all the extras, you know, and put the chrome exhaust on it, you know, dual exhaust, and the kind coming up out of the hood, and you know, we got to have all that stuff. I mean, it's got to be the best, you know, and we need to get that brand new Ford Mustang, and man, just dish out that $40,000, you know, and get it, you know. And then what we ought to do is take it out in the front of the church, you know, because, you know, we eliminate one of the flower beds out there, you know, and this would keep it off the ground, and just take the top down and fill it with dirt, you know, and put some good manure in it and then plant flowers. And, you know, I mean, people will look at that, you know, and those flowers, make sure if it's a red one, you know, you get some nice colored flowers that fit with that, you know, man, that would be a great planter, wouldn't it? And you say, no, that's a waste. That car wasn't made to be a planter. It was made to go down the road. But really, maybe that's a little bit what our life will be like. What we'll think of our life when it's
when we get before the Lord. God had a purpose for our life, but we used it for something completely insignificant. Completely insignificant. The precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed to save our eternal souls. And He saved us at a very high price and had purpose in our life. And yet, many of us, we'll use our life for something completely insignificant. And when we look at life from eternity standpoint, we'll say, boy, that was a waste. No different than taking that $40,000 beautiful car and putting dirt in it, making it a plant. You know, I don't know what happened to this book in my library. I loaned it out a few times, and I don't know where it is anymore. But Peter Masters wrote a book. I like the title of it, Men of Purpose. Men of Purpose. He took the testimonies and the biographies of a number of men who are famous today because they made their life, they purposed that their life would count for God. They were men of purpose. We need to be people of purpose today. We need to be purpose to be people of purpose. Now let me ask a question. Okay? All right? Young people. Okay, you're here. I hope you're listening. Okay, what's your purpose? You say, really? Sounds to me like you don't have purpose. Maybe you're afraid to tell us what your purpose is. Maybe really in your heart, you say, you know what? What I want is, I tell you what, I want the world. And I just can't wait to get into the sins of the world. That's what I want. But maybe there's somebody here that's got a bright eye. An eye. And you can look in a person's eye and you can see that they have a purpose. They have given themselves over to something bigger than them. And it makes their life meaningful because they have lost their life in Jesus Christ. And now they're a person with a passion and a purpose that will last for eternity. We can lose our sense of purpose. We can lose our passion. We can lose our focus. And obviously the Bible has got a message over and over to get back to your purpose. Get back to your passion. Get back to God's plan. Because we can lose it. Today we need to ask ourselves these questions. What will make my life meaningful at the end of life? We need to ask ourselves questions like, what plans do I need in my life? Do I need to change? What investment strategy needs to change? am I entered into the race? Or I'm sitting on the sidelines watching others do the work of the Lord. There is an end for all of us. And for those who have given themselves to the Lord, it's only the beginning. For many in this world, it will be a revelation of just what Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And I don't think he said that just intellectually. I think he said it with agony in his heart. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we need to be people of purpose. And we've learned from our Savior, who set his face like a flint to the cross, that unless we have a plan, unless we have a purpose, unless we have decided what we are going to give ourselves to, we will truly fall short. Or we will be easily detracted or sidetracked. We'll easily be put the right things to the side. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us even in these brief moments and in this brief moment. Lord, may your Holy Spirit help us to get a little sense of what kind of an investment we are making with our life, what kind of return we're going to get in eternity. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to focus right now on if in our daily life we are purposing to bring glory to God by what we do, by what we say. I pray that we'd even church members here, angels are watching. Angels marvel when they say sinners who will give themselves to you, when they will function in the church with love, with long suffering and kindness, not stubbornness. Lord, we are to live to your glory, and oftentimes we lose sight of that. Lord, we pray for that precious soul that is here today. They really don't have any sense of purpose in life because they're not saved. They're not in the family of God. They have religion, but they don't have salvation. They've lost. They're without the most vital understanding of life. Lord, they need to come to you through your Son so they can have the complete forgiveness of their sins and have fellowship with the God of heaven and know your will, know your plan. Lord, pray you'd work in hearts today. Lord, even work in every one of us. With heads bowed and eyes closed.